This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Eric Wall, welcome to the show. Thrilled to see you, my man.
Thank you kindly. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
I'm excited because you've got a big book launch. We've got a call-in show. You are a killer of the art. I mean, people who are seeing this, you might have seen the version you've made for myself in episodes of Daily V. You are a very talented dude that I've gotten to know in the last year or so, and I'm excited to introduce you to the audience. So for the people that don't know who you are, how do you sum yourself up?
I am a disruptive strategist. So I'm a performance artist who speaks on the corporate lecture circuit. I'm also an author, flying around doing 100 shows a year for the last 12 years in a row, sharing about disruption, how to innovate, how to differentiate from the competition, how to embrace the future of business. But it's a very niche market, so it's all corporate conferences, sales events, but I don't do many public shows, so I'm not a household name. I'm invisible to
because you've been more into a B2B strategy.
Exactly. Right. Speaking to corporate.
So how did you get there? I'm gonna assume, just even knowing your vibe, you came up as an artist, and then did you stumble into that world, or did you go the other way? Help me.
I'm a former suit.
That's why you don't assume, people. Sorry, Stefan.
I have a very logical, linear background. Went to school, got a job out of school as a partner in a firm.
Jesus.
Did that for 8 years, then had an early midlife crisis. And
so at 30.
At 30.
I did too a little bit.
Yeah. And that's where I found the arts. I didn't care about creativity, the arts, because there was no money in it. You can't make it. There's no ROI.
So what kind of kid were you? So you weren't drawing, you were...
I was an athlete.
You were an athlete.
Athlete, and I was an alpha dog. So divide and conquer, kick ass if it was in school.
What did you play?
I was a wrestler. I also, football, baseball,
where did you grow up?
In Seattle, Washington.
Okay. Are you a Seahawks fan? No.
I'm a recovering Seahawks. So I because I watched it with my dad,
yeah.
I was a Seahawks fan.
You love Steve Largent?
You know who Steve Largent
Listen,
is.
Listen, we're old. Yeah. I do. I'm 41 Zorn, years old.
Jim Zorn threw to Steve Largent. Sherman Smith is who carried the pill. Dan Dornick. Seattle people.
You're bringing it.
And I also was there.
But I remember Warner and David Craig. I'm like I remember those mid-80s Seahawks teams.
And I remember Al Toon. Yeah, I remember, I don't remember Joe Namath. My dad told me about it.
So Seattle, athlete,
yep.
Alpha dog, win-win-win,
yep.
Go into the job, get a good job, da-da-da.
Win-win-win there.
30 years old, freak out.
.com bomb, I got flattened.
Got it.
So
why you put your money into the market?
Everything. Yeah, I was.
Was that?
Because you.
Because Seattle.
That age, I didn't. All I knew is that when I graduated from college, everything you touched.
Which was what year?
93.
Okay. So you're 5 years older than me.
Everything you touch turns to gold. You buy InfoSpace at 5. In 7 days, it was at 75. So I knew
this
that.
Is interesting timing.
I was going to, and it actually, I thought I was going to retire at age, 27, 28.
So you were making good money at a corporate job, taking the money and investing in the market and making a killing.
Hey, I'm Mike from Team Gary V. Today's episode is a 2017 conversation with Gary and Eric Wall. You won't want to miss where they share their unique perspectives on the challenges of book marketing.
Killing for me.
For you, correct. Yeah,
for me, it was...
But, listen, buying stocks at 5 that go to 170, even if you put in $10,000, you're making real money.
Plus the rush of how that feels. I'm so smart.
So what, were you... Listen, it's funny because I keep yelling at all these kids on Instagram that, life's too good right now. When this crashes, shit's gonna get weird. I forgot about this. This actually reminded me. Were you at a place where you had your job, but you were struggling to even focus on it because you kept looking at Yahoo Finance and watching the money?
Oh, yeah. Refresh. You were watching your stocks. And every time my stock went up, I was a little bit happier. I was a little bit smarter. I was a little bit.
You thought you were a real genius.
I was closer to retirement. But when my stock went down, I started to get pissed. I started to maybe not treat people as well. And it was like losing a sale was when my stock went down. And it all went down. And
we're talking about 2000?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I got destroyed. I got destroyed. It was a shark attack.
Were you married at this point?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I see
beautiful
her.
Beautiful woman right
so
there.
What?
22 years.
So wait, you literally, it was April, right? It was April. So what, you just come home and fuck?
I felt like that. But it lasted a lot longer. So the suffering, first of all, you lose everything. Then you think about everything you lost. And then you just walk around the house at night because you can't sleep, because everything that I was wrapped up
in the success of that
and the money, my security.
The self-worth, yeah.
I was addicted to security.
The actual security of those finances.
And so when that was taken away and they said, I had to start over at ground zero, that was really depressing. With three little kids.
Yeah.
And
did you have
no money.
Did you have mortgages and all that good stuff?
Oh yeah.
So what happened? Did you lose the consult? Did you lose the job you had too?
I left the job because
Because you were just like, yeah.
What I did is I brokered entertainment, and so.
This is the thing that, again, like, listen, we're going a little somber start. It'll get better, but I want everybody to pay attention, because you guys know I've been on this kick that this good times can't last forever. It's not only that you don't get paid $8,000 to take a photo in your Instagram with a fucking tea or a thing of that. You also actually lose your other jobs too. And so, like, cool. So somebody making $130 a year right now, 24 years old, doing sponsored posts on Instagram around clothing brands and fruit and protein shakes. It's not only that you lose that because the brand's dollars shred up when the economy goes soft, it's that when you then go to get a job, those jobs aren't there either. Like, it goes from here to here.
And you're balancing, I was balancing my ego in this as well. So my ego.
Well, what do you think is wrapped up in when you say in your Instagram profile you're an influencer and you're traveling to Ibiza and Coachella and telling all your friends that you're making $180,000, $400,000, $1 million a year?
They expect that of you in perpetuity. And if you can't showcase it all the time, all of a sudden you start to feel less. I felt less. It was a very difficult time. So let's bounce from there.
Let's go.
That's where I
want to stay there the whole time, just so everybody knows, because I want you fuckers to actually understand what the fuck we're talking about, but we'll bounce for now.
It
hurt. We'll go to this clip in 16 months when the world melts. Go ahead.
There you go. I needed to find a reason to get up in the morning.
Right.
I needed to find a reason to go on, and I didn't want to go back and try and build this business from zero and try and find what I want to do with the rest of my life. And so I actually found life with other artists, like other people who had suffered a little bit, I could relate to them. And they started sharing.
Suffering artists like India.
Starving artists. And the reason it's a cliche is because it's true. Now, India's work is unbelievable and she's going to be worth millions, but
she doesn't know this, but I own 49% of it when she signed her contract. Sorry, India. Go ahead.
There's actually a lot.
India, you need to show. You got to show her. She hasn't been on the Ask Gary Vee show in 100 years. All right.
Indy and I have worked closely here for a while.
Go ahead.
So I realized that, gosh, a lot of these artists actually aren't that happy. Even though they have these philosophies, they don't have any income. They don't have any money. They don't know how to build traction or build a brand. And so,
well, they're probably like India. They get happiness out of complaining and being starving and the negativity. By the way, I'm that way too. It's actually why, you want to hear this? It's actually why I really associate with that. I like the pain of the process. Mm-hmm. I really do. Like, the reason I keep fantasizing about melting is I'm excited. By the way, you think I'm excited to fire 280 people because a third of our clients fire us? You think that's interesting to me? You don't think I think about that every day in a world where we've had nothing but growth? I'm scared shitless of the pain that's gonna bring me. Truth is, you have no options.
The way things go. And if you're an artist looking to build a brand, I think there is a lot to learn. That's what I found, is that artists did not have kind of that grind of learning how to amplify their brand to scale, how to push their genius out there. And so that's where I
You were businessy, went to art, and then went back to businessy around art.
Right, and at this time is when I started to create. I'd never painted before, but it was so fascinating.
You're so good at it. Was it? No, really, he is.
Very intelligent.
Are you fascinated by that? One thing I tell a lot of people is, people ask me, what's my passion, Gary, right? And I'm like, well, if you never had a hot dog, would you know if you liked eating hot dogs? Did you find it, were you confused that you were good at it?
Good is a relative term. I sucked when I started, but I loved the process. I loved the idea of creating. I loved the idea of getting better. Art, painting was just where it kind of opened up. And I got branded as a graffiti artist early on, partly because I loved it so much. I loved their philosophy. I love street artists. And I started doing it and hanging out with them. But I also started landscape painting, figure drawing, writing poetry, doing photography. So it was, that was, and you were the gateway drug to understanding creativity as a whole. And creativity is not just painting or graffiti. It's a way of life. It's an energy.
It's a mindset.
It's a mindset. And so that's why I took it not only into writing and into sculpture, but also into business, because business is all about being creative. Marketing,
of course.
strategy.
So actually now I'm like really deep into the vortex of this. So you start making shit, right? You've got three kids at home and the wife. Yeah. What happens in that, like give me a quick 5 second, 2000 to 2005, you know, like what happened?
I started writing all these ideas that artists had the genius, but no discipline to how to get their message to scale. Businesses had this incredible discipline, but no disruptive thinking or curiosity. And so that's where I kind of wrote a presentation about how to merge the two. I called it the art of vision. Started painting on stage, started cranking rock music.
How did you get your first gig?
Marketing, hustling. When I first spoke, I sucked. My wife was super, Tasha.
Disappointed in you?
She was super supportive. I think she somehow.
She's like, you suck at speaking.
Somehow she was able to muster, instead of saying you suck, she still was able to say, yep. You know, let's go, hun. So I felt affirmed. I'm like, okay, well, let's.
But she's more glass half full, right? And you're more glass half empty.
I would say so.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Like, I know you guys, not that you're so horrible, but I mean, she is a little bit more, like, her natural reaction is a little bit more positive.
She's my Yoko Ono.
Yep.
So I'm this kind of confused John Lennon. I've got ideas, but insecure about putting them out there. That's the truth.
Yeah.
She's always been behind me and pushing that out there, like, you know what? I think this is going to be awesome. You know what? They're going to go for this. And so I had a lot of support and encouragement early on from her. And I ended up I did a presentation. She hustled for me to speak to some American Healthcare Association, kind of a national meeting. And inside there's 50 state associations.
So blew it up.
It's kind of like hitting the lotto.
That was the moment.
That was the moment. And you just kind of learn as you go.
Yeah, 100%.
What's the best way? It's you start big and then you go backwards. You reverse engineer.
100%. We're about to get into a phone call. I want to do two things before we get there, Andy. Your Facebook. Instagram, start putting your phone. Oh, you're doing Facebook. Instagram, sorry. Facebook Live is doing the phone numbers this time. Please post your phone numbers and we will call some of you.
I want to make one connection really quick.
You're gonna be able to do that for sure. I got two other things before we do calls. Go ahead. You start.
You gave a presentation in Dublin called Clouds and Dirt.
Yes.
That is the spark and the grind. It is the idea and the execution. So I just wanted to.
Wait, you just wrote the Clouds and Dirt book that I've been wanting to write one day? I'm very upset right now.
I beat you.
But is that the spiel?
That is exactly it. And that's why I brought Rodin's thinker, because he's a man of great muscularity. So it's not just this sage, he's a doer. And so he's kind of been my little mascot that I've been bringing around with me. Yes.
What do you think?
The Heisman Trophy.
And so this is. Why don't we spend another second on the book? You've written several books.
This is my second major published release.
I've written some direct-to-consumer stuff before, self-help. Yeah, but you feel like this is your second.
This is my second baby.
How do you feel that process has been? This is your second book. How do you compare it to your first? What do you think you did better? What's different?
The writing process was similar in that I love it. I love the grind of
writing.
I love writing, and I
don't.
What I don't like is the marketing. The fact that, you know, I've got to, like, hey everyone. I actually don't care.
You hate selling.
I know.
By the way, no.
I know you love selling.
No. Be careful. I've said this to some of you that really know me. I actually hate micro selling. The way I like selling is giving so much value and building so much brand that it's sold before. I hate selling. I actually decided not to raise a fund last year. I was raising a big fund, Vayner Capital, a new fund, and I stopped because I so disliked asking people for money.
I hear you.
I hate it. I hate selling. I hate it.
I hate the fact that this is tipped up like this, like we're trying to pimp it. I would prefer, let's just talk. We'll let the thinker stand.
I agree.
As our,
I get it. I mean, every time when I'm on book tour and I'm doing something like this, I'm like, they're like, why don't you tell us why they should buy the book? I'm like, they shouldn't.
Yeah. So
don't buy it.
I'm not interested in going through chapter by chapter anything about that book. It's the brand. That's one.
I'm just
channel
going through. By the way,
brand.
I'm thinking about calling it Crushing It. Not Crushed It. I'm writing my next one called Crushing It. It's a follow-up. And like the process is fun. I do it totally different. I have a ghostwriter. I'm recording it, like doing interviews, sliding down like icy driveways in Colorado while I do it. But I was curious how everybody's different process. I'm always curious about the second time.
So mine is a verbal vomit. I write every single day. That's what I do. That's how I process thought. That's how I think. So it's I write. It's called a verbal vomit, and then I send it to editors and like Random House, and they're incredible because they put it in bite-sized chunks where consumers are like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Oh yeah, that makes sense. But when I think, I'm just writing. So that's what it is.
You have an ungodly amount of 20 to 25 year old entrepreneurs, wannabe entrepreneurs. And we have the full gamut, but the growth on Instagram for me has translated to a much younger audience. What do you want to tell those characters right now before, and we're about to, let's do our first phone call. Any rant, like what's on your mind for that demo? I know this is generalizing.
That structure creates freedom. So that's the kind of the paradox of creativity or innovation, that discipline and routine and hard work is what makes way for constant creativity. And then of course, patience. And
you agree with that?
I'm living that. It's more than just agreeing.
It's not something that came natural to you in your younger age?
Patience?
Yeah.
No. No, I'm an alpha dog. I love,
and patience comes very easy to me.
That's
I
awesome.
Do both.
And that's awesome for you. I'm learning. I've learned more patience in the last 12 months than I've had to endure my.
Whoa! Before we go into this phone call, I'm glad. Sorry there. In the last 12 months.
Yeah. Should I get comfy on the couch?
Yeah. You intrigued me before we. Yeah. What? Tell me that.
That I thought my brand was going to launch. I thought that I've done the 10, 12 years of hard-ass work, slaving away, doing 100 shows a year, logging 250,000 miles in
that
airplanes.
As soon as you went out weirdly and did the videos and all this, yeah. That, you know, dude, shit, man. That makes me so happy. So I don't know if you know this, but I have a TV show coming. I'm convinced it is not gonna be the thing that people think it's gonna be. It's Apple, it's tens of millions of dollars in marketing. I am convinced. So. I think my ecosystem thinks it's gonna be the moment that I become massively mainstream famous, and I already know that it's not going to be that. It'll be another piece, mm-hmm. But there, like, the punchline is, it's never like, you know, it happens. Simon Cowell, it happened. Like, it happens, but I get it, man. And I think about it all the time. The amount of times this was gonna be the thing that changes my career. Remember Facebook video? We had the inside track on Facebook video. Like, this is gonna be the thing. You know, like the other thing we were working on at the same time, it's never the thing.
I've gone through a lot of suffering to learn how to be patient, to realize this will take time on setbacks, this too shall pass, and all of those are building resiliency for wherever this thing goes. And I don't know that there is such thing as you say there's no such thing as an overnight success, but even, I wonder Malcolm Gladwell's tipping point. I'm like, I'm waiting for that, because I feel like I've done a lot of this backfill. When does it tip? When do you like, that was sweet, that was the moment?
So I think the question becomes, are you able to reframe your brain into that same place when you were learning how to create? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You need to figure out how much do you love this journey, and how you actually change it to love it more if you're yearning for the tipping point. I would tell you that I'm sitting here psychoanalyzing myself in parallel to you and saying, or am I secretly hopeful that the Apple show won't work so big? Because I do love the grind. Like, I like losing. Let me give you an example. Tony Robbins was here the other day,
yep,
right?
I saw 10,000
cool.
viewers, yes, on Facebook,
right,
Live, that was insane.
Right, ready for this? Ungodly amounts of comments that I suck shit because I interrupt when I interview. You would not believe how much I love that. I love when people call out my shortcomings, perceived shortcomings. Tony Robbins has 8 trillion interviews out there. If you want to go watch or listen to an interview where the person doesn't interrupt them, mazel tov. I've got my style of my show. It's free and I need to do it my way, but it was funny. I secretly I read them all.
Yeah.
Over the week, like during my little pockets over the weekend, I read them all of them. Every Facebook and YouTube comment that says, shut up, Gary, what the fuck? You're a douchebag, I hate you, you suck shit. And I'm like, yeah. More, like I love the process of losing in a world where I'm alpha and wanna win more than anything.
I'm still learning that. I am emotional, I'm an artist. I look at trollers or haters,
yes,
and I'm like.
Yeah, to me, I like pet their little fluffy hair and go, I'm listening to you and I'm empathetic. By the way, I'm empathetic. This is live. Like, this is super live, super no edited. It's not the only thing I do in my life. I'm not a professional podcaster that makes one fucking video once a week and sit cozy in my booth and have unlimited time. It's the only fucking thing I'm doing that day. Sorry.
It's a channel.
I think that the battle scars are attractive.
They're what make the joys that much higher. So I don't know that the success would feel as good if you didn't feel
and
the
pain. And I think when I'm listening to you, I'm like, hey man, I'm sitting because I like you. Like,
Brandon Marshall just gets news, and you interrupt a lot.
Brandon Marshall did? I love Brandon. But now I don't care about Brandon Marshall's feedback, way, because he's not a Jet anymore. Brandon, you only have so much weight.
That's the Jets wide receiver, for anyone who doesn't know that. That's cool. Hey, Brandon, what's up?
It's my natural feeling. I go fast, I anticipate, and I know it's not enjoyable to watch at all times, and I'm empathetic, and I do apologize, but I just can't not be me. And I think this goes back to where I was actually going with this, which is the greatest thing to hack is figure out what parts don't make the journey exciting and either fix them or cut them out.
And to
because you lose otherwise.
And to love the journey. Like I realized that at this point in my career, if I don't love what I'm doing, I'm not gonna grind at it. So I love the hard work. I do too.
Who is this?
Blake. Hello?
Blake, it's Gary Vaynerchuk and you're on the Ask Gary Vee show with Eric Wall.
Get out of here.
You made it, Blake. Where are you from and what's your question?
Wow, from Harrisburg, Hershey, Pennsylvania, Chocolatown, USA.
Dude, very nice.
Hey, what's your name? Your name's Blink?
Blake.
Blake. Dude, my great-great-grandfather is Carlton Hershey, invented the Hershey bar long ago, so
shout out.
Shouldn't there be some royalties, right? No, so anyway, cool. I'm glad you're calling from Hershey, PA.
Blake, let's do it.
Sure. Well, I mean, you talk a lot about documenting the journey, and, you know, I was trying to figure out about, like, chicken or the egg here. You know, you talk about starting and, you know, just doing and going for it, but then you talk about how you didn't start talking until you actually built a business and built brand and built awareness, so you were quiet for quite some time. So Gary, chicken or the egg, you know, which one do we do here with trying to build a personal brand?
I'm glad you asked that because there's a very strong clarification here that you'll give to the whole audience if they're confused, and I can see how they'd be confused. I would have started documenting the wine library journey, but I wouldn't have at 22 come out and said I was a business expert because I hadn't successfully built a huge business. So I would have documented being, hey guys, this is 22-year-old Gary Vee. I think that I'm gonna be really successful because for the last 8 years, I've been selling baseball cards. I've been in my dad's business. I think I've got this. The internet's gonna be big. You'll see it. So I would have been documenting my truth. When I say I didn't come out and talk until I did, as an authority worthwhile of writing business books that I thought people should have followed. And so that's the clarification. I would have documented the early days of my entrepreneurship. What happened instead was I felt comfortable coming out as an authority because I had serious business success at that point. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand that.
So I think you could choose one or the other. I would recommend the documenting because if you're willing to do it, the upside is extreme. It gives you another place where you might be able to be successful in. Or, for example, I think Wine Library would have done a lot more revenue if there was also tens of thousands of people following my journey of building this store. They would have come and visited because they would have thought the 25-year-old punk kid was interesting and intriguing. So it would have had greater reach along the way.
I want to also say, Blake, I think you learn a lot by documenting. So just by the process of documenting, your mind is working differently than if you're just on to the next project.
What happened you start documenting behind the wall, like I know it's ideated across the ways. Like, what were the biggest eye openers when you started doing the vlog in your world?
That I sucked at it. That I knew I was good live on stage when I could see the whites of people's eyes and I could adjust. But behind the camera, when someone said action or now you're on, I would tense up and I would become less authentic. Yeah. So for me, it was just massaging through the fact that I'm not that strong yet at being on camera.
Did winning in artistry and getting better at that give you like a quiet confidence in the back of your head because you solved that thing?
No, it was a hook. Art was more therapy. I use art in the presentations because people think it's cool.
Yeah.
But for me, it's a sanctuary back in my studio just to grow, but it's also documenting. That's why I write, is to document.
Blake, I think the key is always reverse engineering yourself. I think the fact that we're capable with today's technologies to document is really cool. To be very frank with you, one thing that I also want to throw out is I think people are underestimating the documentation of their lives and the impact on their families. I would tell you, no question, the coolest thing from documenting all this and what I'm I'm doing is the amount of content my great-great-grandkids are gonna have in watching me and seeing the similarities in their DNA and me. Like, it's just cool. Like, having, like, I don't have a lot of family photos. I know nothing about my two, when I tell you I know nothing about my two grandfathers, I know nothing. And so, like, I think there's some cool, the documenting is a lot cooler than you think just from that part, let alone the business impact it has in the short term.
We also talk, we opened the show kind of talking about Ibiza and a couple hundred grand and private jets. Yeah. And that's one thing for Instagram and social media, but to actually see people who aren't winning yet, to watch the process, the challenge, that documenting, I think is as interesting, if not more interesting, than the actual bling bling.
So Blake, I think you could document the journey now, and that'll be cool, and it has its upside, or if it's more interesting for you, you put your head down for a decade, and if you wanna come out as an expert, you come out after you've already won, because it's a lot more fun to talk shit once you've accomplished something.
Exactly, I'm trying to do both, so I appreciate that. I know you also said, you know, instead of putting like CEO in your profile, putting like aspiring artist or something like that. So how do you build credibility if you're aspiring while still trying to
get it? You don't deserve credibility if you haven't accomplished.
Okay.
You might become fascinating to somebody with your bravado of predicting your accomplishments, but people are trying to get credibility before they've earned it, and they think some way they can create a facade for it, and that's my fucking problem with it, because it's undermining you. Though you may trick the 10% losers, but you've lost with the 10% winners.
I'm with you. Just want to make sure I got confirmation.
No worries, brother. All right, let's move it along, because I know we're time limit constraints. I don't want to get yelled at for interrupting.
If you're an aspiring artist, don't race to commoditize. Keep working the brand, building the brand. You might lose authenticity if you try and commoditize too early. So aspiring artists, stay hungry, build the brand, but don't be careful about when you turn and try and turn it into a business, because you could lose some of your authenticity.
100%.
Randy?
I'm going through exactly what Eric is doing.
This is right.
Let's see.
Randy, this is Gary. Randy, this is Gary Vaynerchuk. You're on the Ask Gary Vee show.
What's up, Gary Vee? Shout out to D-Rock, first off. Mark and Gary, check. Oh my God, let me turn this off real quick. All right, sorry about that. My question to you is, I've created what I believe to be a high-end brand. Doesn't have a whole lot of followers, but it's hard for me to position myself to create another brand that will help support me through this, because I'm doing photography and video, which is why I shout out to everybody that's using the Sony's there. Like, what should I do? I've been doing this for 10 years. I haven't really got a whole lot of traction. I've been struggling, and I need to know what to do.
Eric?
Hello?
Yeah.
Over here, brother.
First of all, in photography, I apologize
for cutting you off. I do photography, video, and websites. More photography and video.
What do you want to happen before Eric answers it? Like, what do you want to happen? Do you have a side job? Do you have a regular job? Is this your side job?
No. This is all I've wanted to do. I used to do club flyers, so my friend used to own a club up the street. He got shut down. And after doing club flyers for a while, I realized I hated flyers. So I got it.
Don't blame me.
I really hate doing flyers. So I decided to do photography and videography. It comes easier to me. And if you check out my work, you actually messaged me back one time. And it's really good. I'm not going to toot my own horn, but a lot of people like it, but not enough to sustain a living. What I really want to happen out of this is a roadmap, because I've actually looked for mentors, not in photography, video aspect, but on the business side of that stuff. But like, I want to transition into marketing.
Do you think you need a business partner that understands how to do the business part and that you're the creative?
There's not enough upside for them to come in. And I live at a local college down the street.
Sounds like an artist.
Even for the internships, they'll learn what I teach, because I teach really well. And then they'll just take off on their own, which is great, because I taught somebody really well how to get to at least where I am. But it's not enough upside for somebody to come in and say, hey, whatever.
Do you love photography? Like, if you hit the lotto this afternoon, would you do photography next week?
What I do, if I hit the lotto, I would. And I'm at the point
Tell the truth.
Where, huh?
Tell me the truth about this lotto question. $5 million.
If I won $5 million, they say invest in what you know, Warren Buffett, and you said it yourself. I could only invest in what I know. I'd be stupid to throw my money in something else. So yes, it'd be photography, videography. I've looked to build a building beside you. I understand your concept of looking to build a building and not worrying about everybody else, not destroying everybody else's building. I'd be up under you somewhere else. I'm not saying I would be the next Gary Vaynerchuk because I don't have enough energy. And I, for the love of God, I do not understand how you're not on supplements. Jesus fucking Christ. You have a shit ton of energy.
Ridiculous. I do.
You've got to tell me how you do it. I don't know if it's the Russian Jewish thing. I don't know. Either way, my idea is that photography and videography by itself is not enough, considering how the saturation of the market, to actually sustain a living. So I started to put my photography and videography in places where it could be more useful, i.e. the marketing side. This is what this picture can do for you versus, here's a nice picture. You're like, oh, I'll just put it on my Facebook or my Instagram and hope it gets me traction. That's what I've been doing, and I've been talking to people. I just talked to a lady who has a yoga studio.
Hey, Randy, Rand.
Yeah.
First of all, your energy excites me. So I think you're up. So Rand, listen. I've kind of let you go here just for kind of like show, to be very frank. Let's pull this back in.
Yeah.
So you're trying to make a living creating for clients, is that correct?
Absolutely.
How much time do you spend trying to get new clients? And don't bullshit me, Randy, because I will hang up. How much time every day do you spend DMing? Do you spend creating a brochure and hanging it or putting it on somebody? I'm gonna remind everybody, me printing flyers and going to the Short Hills Mall and putting it on people's cars because I had no money. Everybody thinks it's easy once it, like, no, we all start out at Zippo. Like, how much time are you spending trying to get clients for real daily? Don't bullshit me.
I'm spending 2 hours doing it because I have so much content that I have to get out.
So what are you doing?
What am I doing? I'm more so stuck photoshopping, which I...
No. On your 2 hours a day of trying to sell, what are you actually doing?
I'm sitting on the computer. I mean, what do you...
No, I'm asking you in detail, brother.
What's my day-to-day look like?
No, one more time. You told me that you spend 2 hours a day trying to sell and get clients, correct?
Oh, what do I do during the selling? I go to the clients that I already have, and I ask them to, you know, their hair salons, the yoga studio, see if they have clients that will fit my profile versus cold calling.
Yeah, so I think that you are not a natural salesperson. I think that you need to get very comfortable around cold calling, cold DMing, emailing websites that are local, and driving for an hour up and down Main Street and knocking on doors, because that's your issue right now. You need to grab business. It's not gonna come to you. The end.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome, man.
All right, well,
good.
You know, that's tough, because he's a starving artist, and there's millions of them out there.
One more, let's get one more call.
It's tough. You've got to build your brand, you've got to build the value proposition, and you have to hustle.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's super hard. Like this is being in the creative business. Like, he wants to have a business. The problem with a lot of people when they want to have a business is they don't want the business part.
The hard work.
They want to do the, and by the way, it's hard work to create the art. It's hard work to be handy and be, some people are great plumbers. It doesn't mean that they should have a plumbing business that they own. They should go work for somebody and be the most valuable plumber. Like, the craft is separate from the business.
Yep. Is this?
Karina, it's Gary Vaynerchuk, and you're on Ask Gary V with Eric Wall.
Oh my God, you have to be kidding me right now.
You made it, Karina.
Oh my God, that is awesome.
What's your question?
Okay, my question is, if you have too much passion to do like too many things, like for instance, like you have too many things, like right now you do so much, like you have the Chuck Vaynerchuk, like the...
Yeah, you got too many things that you want to do.
Exactly, yeah.
How do you pick one?
Correct, yeah.
Pick one.
So that's the only advice, okay.
Like Eric, what do you have? I mean, this is my most common asked question. Gary, I have 11 passions. How do I choose the right one to build my business around?
I've got 11 passions as well. I pour my time and energy into the ones that I'm best at and that make money. And then I keep the other ones as side projects that I will tend to as hobbies until I can actually turn them into something either that I'm very good at or that I can commoditize and make money at. And so, yeah.
Karina, I think that this is the humongous excuse by the majority of people that they have so many different things that they are passionate about as an excuse to not actually put in the 15 hours a day against something. I really mean that. And I don't know if that's your issue, but I'm saying that because a lot of people are watching and I want to get to this once and for all. No joke. Flip a fucking coin, write all your different passions on a dartboard and throw the dart. Like, just pick one. If they're all, I love when people are like, Gary, I love them all so equally. I go, great. Then there should be no concern. The other thing is, if you're trying to decide between two, when you flip the coin, it's a funny thing happens. Your heart will tell you, your brain will tell you which one you actually want to do.
And Karina, this is, the fact that you have 11 things that you're super pumped about, I think that's awesome. There's a lot of people out there listening or watching that are trying to find what they're passionate about. They don't know. They're seeking money or financial security. The fact that you have so many things to choose from is a blessing, that you get to pick one and not try and find something in the world. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I think, all right, that's awesome. That was all my questions. Thank you guys for calling me. This is like a really cool experience.
Karina, don't leave yet. I got a question.
Go ahead. Yes.
Which passion are you going to pick right now?
My passion, I'm probably going to be a trader. I want to do penny stock trading. I am also really passionate. Like, I have a great, like, charisma with people, so I actually like to do skits and modeling right now because I do that. So my main one is...
Wait a minute, we're deciding between modeling and penny stock trading? This is amazing. Do both.
Karina, if there's anything that I can do to talk you out of penny stock or day trading...
How can she find you?
Oh, she can find. How can she find me?
Yeah, like email you where, or hit you up on Twitter where, if you're gonna be a helper, let's do it.
Karina, hit me up on Instagram or Twitter at Eric Wall, and send me a note, and I'll respond to you. But I would.
Karina, great news. He's gonna turn you into a model. He's gonna talk you out of penny stock.
There you go. A future modeling career. Congratulations.
I love you, buddy.
Thank you,
it's
pal.
Really good to have you on the show. Really.
Pleasure being here.